I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Grizzlies taking on the T-Wolves tonight. Pre-game with Jess Benson starts at 6:30. Eric will have starting lineups and tip-off at 7 o'clock. Eric, let's start right here. Are the Grizzlies ever going to lose again?
Well, the Lakers won 33 in a row once upon a time. So,
I did. I joked on Twitter when you were at the game. I was like, has the team ever won 49 in a row? I can confirm the 71 Lakers won 33 in a row.
Yeah, which is a pretty remarkable run. And then I didn't remember some of the other streaks. I forgot about the Warriors that spanned two seasons, I think was 29. They went the last four games.
I think
games
it was 26. It was 4. I think it was 4-22, if I recall.
Oh, I thought it was 29. I don't remember. I looked it up the other day. But I do remember the Houston one where they won 21, and then a lot of them were long ago. So
different,
man,
NBA.
They're going to lose. I mean, I hate to be the bearer of bad news for everyone. They're going to lose a game. They're going to get caught in a situation.
It was 28, by the way. It was four from the 14-15 season and then 24 to start the next season.
All right, so we split the middle. I said 29, you said 26. So we're, in Price is Right terms, I lose because I went over. So
I'll cut it out where you say I lose.
Right there. Cut it off as you lose. Okay. Here's the thing. The way they're playing defense, they're playing terrific. Tonight's a great test because this team – was part of that stretch where everything was going wrong. I mean, I can remember the feeling in that building in Target Center where after the Grizzlies had been down by, I think, 20 almost, I think it might have been 19, maybe 20, to the Timberwolves in Memphis, that the Timberwolves came out and after an early, 6 minutes of trading baskets, Minnesota just reared back with an Ivan Drago-like right hand and basically destroyed the Grizzlies that night, and it was ugly, and the flight home was quiet, and the mood was solemn, and then we got another couple of just one-sided, tail whippings, and then you're going like, where is the defense? Like, Minnesota was wide open. They made a few early, but then when they got in rhythm and the Grizzlies got frustrated, weren't making shots, it got gross. So tonight's a really good test to see where you've improved, how you've improved, what you can do against a team that has talent, has a big man that can absolutely go with the best of them, and has a young wing that is arguably going to be a star. I think Anthony Edwards is going to be sensational. He can score from anywhere. So tonight's a good test. And then you get Dallas, who played last night on national TV, has tonight off, comes into Memphis, a late game, so they'll be rested. Grizzlies will be rested. And then you've got a really tough game Monday afternoon on a day where we know as much fun as that day is, as unbelievable as it is to be a part of it now for going on a 20th season. Man, the Grizzlies stink on Martin Luther King Day. Let's be honest.
No, I made the same point. We were talking about it on either Monday or Tuesday. I was like, and I forgot that they did win last year, but I was like, historically, that's not exactly you can pencil that one in as a big win.
Who did they beat last year? Because I do
Phoenix. Because it was early in the year, but it was like, whereas this year it's normal. It's like the, 45th game of the year or whatever.
Right.
Last year it was like the 8th or 9th game of the year or whatever it was with that weird schedule.
And if I recall, everybody was wondering if the Chris Paul thing and Devin Booker thing was going to work.
Yes.
After that game. They're like, it didn't look like it doesn't look like it's working. I'm like, dude, we're like 12 games into the season. Relax. And then Phoenix, the next couple times they played Memphis, just absolutely eviscerated them with high ball screens, wing screens, Devin Booker open shots, Jay Crowder playing like, you know, Jay Jordan is Michael's younger brother at times. It was unbelievable. And so, yeah, I do recall that a little bit. I remember a year that they were playing New Orleans, and I don't think Zion played, and the Pelicans came in and absolutely just thumped the Grizzlies in Ja's rookie year. So, you know, yeah, it's going to happen. Look at this road trip coming up, and we're not going to – I don't think we're going to be on that travel trip, so we'll probably be calling the games again from here. But Milwaukee's a tough place to play, even though the Grizzlies were the first team to beat the Bucks in their new building. Denver's always a tough place to play because of the altitude, but that's not the same Denver team when they don't have Jamal Murray and they're missing other pieces. Then you have to go to Dallas, which, depending on what happens Friday night, is Dallas feeling confident because they beat you and have a 2-1 series edge and now maybe feel like they played their way back into the division race? Or are they pissed off knowing they have to win to at least get a season series split, or they can kiss those division title hopes just about all but gone even this early in the season? So that's going to be a tough trip. San Antonio, I think the Grizzlies are just better than they are right now. And then you've got, you know, obviously the couple of home games, and then Philly, New York, and Orlando towards the beginning of February. So, yeah, they'll lose again. But what we're watching right now is not just the history of the longest win streak. It's the evolution of a chronologically young basketball team but has more experience on the court than their years would show, but don't have that much experience together. We're watching them gel, you know, like one of those auto glass companies that magically fix the chips in your car, and 20 minutes later it looks like your windshield's brand new. The gel gets in there, it pulls everything together, and you're absolutely a cohesive unit when early in the year you were not. And yet still, we've seen, I think, 7 games with your projected starting 5. So after the All-Star break, they'll hit game 60. Game 60 at the All-Star break. That's 3/4 of the season. And then after the All-Star break, you'll get a 22-game window where, knock on wood, everybody's healthy. We're hopefully through these health and safety protocols. And you got a 22-game run with a lot of time in between games before the season ends, where you can come together with that group too. I used to say sometimes injuries and missed time are blessing in disguise. The one I got barbecued for but ended up being right on, not to toot my own horn, was when Chauncey Billups went down for the Detroit Pistons. And they had a young backup named Rodney Stuckey, and Stuckey got to play the final 20 games. And I said, hey, this may be a blessing in disguise for Detroit, because now you see what Rodney Stuckey's capable of. Chauncey comes back for the playoffs, and now if you're whoever their coach was at the time, I can't remember whether it was Flip Saunders or whoever, has seen Rodney Stuckey in big moments. And people were like, you're crazy. There's no way the Pistons are better without Chauncey Billups. I said, I didn't say they were better. I said they could be better down the stretch as a group, because now you've given a young guy experience, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, Killian Tilly's game from November to now is different. John Conchar's game from November to now is better. Tyus Jones is better. All these guys have gotten better, and now you're getting your best pieces back? That's a fun thing to think about.
Interesting. Well, tonight, we the latest update, Killian Tilly will not be available. He's now in health and safety protocols. Eric, have you gotten any word? Are we going to get Taylor Jenkins back tonight? Do we know?
I do not. I've been handling some things outside the world of basketball pretty much all day, so I have not heard. I actually kind of thought he might be back the last game, and then I walked into the interview room, and there was Coach Rajakovic, who I love. You want to read a fascinating story about a guy who has basically been groomed to be a basketball coach since he was 14? Go read Darko Rajakovic's bio. It's awesome, and he's so fun to be around. Yeah, I hope so, but you know, look, the depth doesn't just go to the players. Look at the coaching staff. You know, Scoony Penn is a brilliant basketball mind. David McClure is considered a very high-level assistant and is an awesome guy. Love David McClure. Love talking hoops with him. Sonia Rahman is brilliant. Vitaly Potapenko understands how the game's played in the interior. And then you've got two guys at the top, a three with Blake Ahern, who played in the NBA and is a very astute basketball mind, a former point guard. Brad Jones, who I think the world of, not only as a coach, but also as a person, married a college basketball coach. Their household is all about basketball. And I've had him at a camp I run come speak. And even I sat there and was just, this guy's my friend, but he is also a fountain of knowledge, and the players love him. And then you've got Darko, and people love Darko. He's really, really easy to talk to. He's really concise with his messages. And so Taylor Jenkins, as good as he is, was also smart enough to surround himself with guys who are really talented, who are really good coaches, and not just former players with names that you go, hey, you have to respect this guy because he spent 12 years in the NBA. And that's not always the way young people think. They want guys to respect their talent and say, hey, what I see in your game is this, and here's where I think we can enhance it. Not improve it, not necessarily that. And that's a lot of the things that I feel like get taught with the Grizzlies coaches. They're not trying to necessarily improve these guys and say, well, you do this wrong and you do that wrong. And think about when bosses tell that to people. It's usually met with pushback. But if your boss comes to you and says, hey, you have this skill set and I like it, but I think we can make it better if we work on X, Y, and Z, you're going to be a lot more receptive. And that's the one thing I've always noticed being in the practices I've been in, the shoot-arounds, that it's very interactive, very hands-on, very open for the players to speak and give their opinions, and everybody's listening. And that is a very Greg Popovich-like trait. That is how he handles his meetings, and you can see why the tree extends into Memphis now with Taylor Jenkins, who began his career in San Antonio.
Well, and the proof's in the pudding with how some of these young guys have developed. Even some the end of the bench guys. The news today that broke a couple hours ago, Eric, is the latest All-Star voting.
Well, we got more precincts came in.
Yeah, more precincts came in the All-Star voting. Ja Morant has now moved up to number 2 in the among Western Conference guards. In terms of fan voting, he has passed Luka Doncic. So this seems to bode well for him and his, obviously now he's going to be an all-star. The question is, will he start? And this seems to bode well for him when you take into account that you figured the media voting and the player voting would be, hopefully more in his favor because he's having the better year than Luka Doncic as of right now. What do you make of that? What is it? I mean, of all the things that have happened, it seems like over the last 2 or 3 weeks for this team, the thing that is probably the fact that they've become such a national story so suddenly,
right.
And it's not just Ja, it's like Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. It's not just him anymore. And even his own notoriety has seemed to go to a spike to another level. It feels like these latest voting results are kind of proof of that. What have you made of it? I mean, you've been calling games for this team for a long time. It just feels like this is totally different than even the notoriety those grit and grind teams got.
It is. You're not off base. It is 100% different. It's completely different. And you can see it's different because you have your first ever 2-time in a row Western Conference Player of the Week. And let's go back to when this streak started. Okay, we're what? 10 games in now, you started with a win in Sacramento, mm-hmm. expected. Coming off a loss against the Golden State team that people expected to beat you in the rematch, but you were within a bucket with 2 minutes to go. It took a Steph Curry monster performance along with a career night for Gary Payton and a tremendous defensive performance from Draymond Green. There was no shame in what happened to the Grizzlies that night, but they took umbrage to people saying, oh, we punked you and all this other stuff, right? So you go beat Sacramento, that's expected. Then you catch some eyes because after Sacramento, you're kind of expected to go to Phoenix and get beat on the second night of a back-to-back. And they win on a last-second shot. The highlights all over every newscast, sportscast, radio show, everybody talking about it. I was driving back from California, and my phone was going bananas while I was listening. Just insane. Getting calls from national radio hosts, people that I've been on shows. Hey, you had a great call tonight. Sorry, wasn't me. I'll give you the guy's number. Please talk to him. He was awesome. And then you come home. And who do you have sitting there waiting in your doorstep? LeBron and the Lakers. And what did you do? You beat the brakes off them, literally. In the third quarter, you beat them into submission. Then you get San Antonio, and everybody goes, okay, well, it's a nice little streak, good wins. What are you going to do against Kevin Durant and James Harden?
You're going to beat the brakes off them on their court with all of their guys except Kyrie. With Kevin Durant and James Harden playing, you went up there and Ja Morant went bananas in our biggest media market in the country. Okay, what's your reward? Hop on a plane, go play a young, talented Cleveland team. They're giving you the business. You fight back. And what happens? You make a great play at the end of the game where they force the ball away from, you know, from Garland. It goes to Brandon Goodwin. He has to make a pass because you know it's going to Garland. Ja overplays it, gets a steal, gets a bucket, wins the game. Now you're going, oh, man, they're going to come home and play Detroit, who they should eviscerate. And Ja's got a chance at his first Western Conference Player of the Week. Well, they do just that, and he does just that. And then you're like, okay, well, now you get to go to L.A. And if you win one, he's got a chance. Well, you win the first one. And not, you know, look, the Clippers aren't the Clippers right now. That's a group of guys wearing Clipper jerseys that they have very few of the guys that are part of their rotation. Not the Grizzlies' fault, so they took care of business. Again, here come the Lakers, now angry of how you handled them in the next game. And you beat them to the point where LeBron James is throwing elbows at a second-year pro from TCU. Well, now everybody's watching you guys. And now national people are talking. And you know how people are. They hear names, they see things, and they go, oh, I got to vote for Ja Morant. He just won Player of the Week. Well, he just won a second one. And then you got, you know, the return home, and you've got the best team, arguably, in the NBA.
I also think the block is part of it, too. Like the block was massive.
Yeah, the Laker game, I left that out. I'm sorry. The block and the alley-oop, because it was two unreal highlights back-to-back in a game, and everybody saw it. Mm-hmm. And listen, fans have gotten on board. Guys, I've sent that hashtag Ja Morant, hashtag NBA All-Star tweet out, and I look up, and it's been retweeted 500, 600 times. And I'm like, yo, I didn't know that would happen. Well, every time I do it, if he's getting 500 votes, and every time Pete does it, he's getting 500 votes, and every time Brevin does it, he's getting 500 votes, and every time somebody else does it, he's getting 500 votes. That adds up quick. And let me ask you this. You guys watch all the sports shows. When was the last time we talked about Luka Doncic?
No, and I mean, that's kind of the other reality. Like, you're kind of touching on it. Listen, we've watched some very good basketball here, some highly competitive basketball. I cannot remember a time in my life on a random Tuesday in January when I flip on ESPN and the first A block is just about the Grizzlies.
Yeah. Guys like Jalen Rose saying, this guy's another level. Guys like Stephen A. Smith saying, I slept on these guys. Guys, Kendrick Perkins has had the torch since day one. But listen, you guys and I talked in the beginning of the year. And we were talking about the over-under. And, Mark, I think you asked me, if you were able to do it, would you bet over-under? And I said over, and here's why. I think they're a decent team. I think they can get to 44, 45 wins as long as they stay healthy. I think Jaren's going to take a big step forward. And as typical in the desert, as Brent Musburger likes to say, they undervalue teams like the Grizzlies, small market teams, unless you're San Antonio when they were rolling or Utah when they were rolling, and they've proven to you that they can do it. Next year, if these guys go in and continue the way they're playing and say they have a banner year, they win the division title, let's say hopefully they win a playoff series, maybe two, maybe three, and go, that number is going to be in line with actually who they are because people are going to recognize. And I just think, like you said, when you're in the A block, when you got Scott Van Pelt going, man, I love watching this team, man, this is this, it reminds me of when I started in the league and I was covering Sacramento, and all of a sudden this team burst on. But the difference is they had way more veteran presence. They had Vlade Divac to anchor it down. They had Chris Webber, who had been in the league. Jason Williams and Peja were the young guys. Corliss Williamson was initially there. They ship him for a veteran in Doug Christie, and then they bring in veterans and young guys on the bench. So it was a mix. This ain't a mix. This is a lot of young dudes sprinkled in with Steven Adams and the old man River Kyle Anderson, who's still barely 30 years old. This is a different group, but they play with a confidence because their styles fit together. They play together as a group, genuinely care about each other. And I think Elliot said it's the three C's, and I want to say it's culture, compatibility, and you know, something else. I forgot.
Competitiveness.
I don't understand that. Well, that, yeah, that. It's all of the it's all of the above, and they generally have they built a culture. Remember when they took over and they started shaping a roster, and we said, okay, they have a definite idea of who they want to be and how they want to get there. And even the swings they've taken and missed, how bad did they miss? They took a swing at Josh Jackson. He actually played well, but because they weren't sure that he was going to really fit with what they wanted to do, they didn't tender the contract offer on the rookie deal. Grayson Allen fit what they wanted to do, but here comes this kid from TCU that looks like he walked off a weightlifting show, starts dropping threes like it's a layup, and you go, okay, we have an issue. We have a situation where we have two guys that do the same thing. One guy's a little younger, is seemingly a little better on defense, is just as athletic, and maybe even a little better shooter. So we'll have to trade the other guy and let him get a place to play because we respect him. And everybody goes, oh, why would you trade Grayson Allen? He was so good in the bubble and he was so good there. And I said, wait till you see what Desmond Bane does before you make that call. If he does not take the step up that they wanted, then that trade you can deem it a mistake. If he takes that step forward, it was brilliant. Well, it was brilliant. And, you know, it's another one of these times where you go, well, they did it again. Zaire Williams. They seemingly may have done it again. Still a long way to go to write that story. But Xavier Tillman, they did it with him. You know, all these guys they've taken, Brandon Clark, they have fit the role, and all of them are willing to take that role, and that's not easy. Lionel Hollins' biggest piece of advice to me that I always, or biggest saying that was the hardest thing for him to do as a coach, and I always held on to this, was get guys to accept their roles. Everybody got here because they were a superstar on one level or another. No one that's a superstar wants to be told, hey, you're not that guy anymore, but you can be here. And you can be part of it, but there's only one of those guys on this team, and it's not you. Can you accept that? Yes, I just want to win. And there are guys that can do that, and there are guys that can't. I watched a lot of guys come through our doors that I said, boy, if he would just forget about wanting to score 15, 20 a game, focus on defending and rebounding or distributing the basketball and setting the tempo, then we'll be really good. And it didn't happen. And those guys weren't around very long, not only here, but in the league. And that's the specialness, I think, of this group and this culture that's been started with Zach Kleiman and Rich Cho, Glenn Grunwald, Tayshaun Prince, Daniel Makris, and a bunch of guys upstairs that, you know, you may never have heard of, but work together in a very open environment and collaborate like no front office I've ever seen.
Awesome. Eric, we appreciate it. Have a good call tonight.
Yeah, I'm just thankful I have a voice. I might have yelled a few times or two in that Tuesday night game, which may have made the highlights sound awful. But I can be honest with you guys, that was maybe one of the most fun regular season games in my 21 years. And to see the people just continue to rally and to have a Golden State Warrior fan about 5 feet to my right when Klay Thompson traveled but got that pass underneath to a wide-open Gary Payton but clearly shuffled his feet. I said, oh, he traveled, but it was a great pass. And the guy gave me this dirty look. And on the microphone, I closed the mic. I said, yeah, what do you got now? Which I hit the cough button when I said. Philip, I might have gotten into it a little bit.
Philip Dean said as he was walking from, I guess, from the auxiliary down to the media center, he heard a Golden State fan leaving the building. He's like, I still think Ja's overrated. It's just like, yeah. It's nice to have them like leave the building doing like the sore loser thing. Like, I love it.
Yeah. Awesome.
And here's what I would say to him. I still think we're going to greatly appreciate the $250 you spent on that ticket to watch your team lose. Yeah.
Yes.
Amazing.
Thank you.
All right,
appreciate
Eric. We appreciate it. Grizzlies Timberwolves tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on 99FM ESPN. Pregame starts at 6:30 with Jessica Benson. Eric will be on the call at 7. When we come back, we'll get into the list. New Memphis Tigers running back. Among other things, you're listening to the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis celebrates a legacy of sports in the Mid-South as flagship home of the Grizzlies and Tigers talk on the Odyssey app. Powered by DuckDuckGo, 92.9 FM ESPN.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.